And that's how we form memories. And it sounds like a complicated system, as many different things can disturb the process, from drug use to emotional state. But there's one thing that we now know is critically important for memory, and that's sleep. Corny Orbach has the story.
It sounds quite otherworldly, doesn't it? Well, actually, this is the sound of our brain's orchestra. It's the patterns of activity of different parts of our brains as we sleep, whirring away, organising, filing and sorting our memories. And it was recorded by Dr. Matt Jones's team at the University of Bristol.
Well, it's funny stuff, sleep, because we tend to equate it, of course, with rest. But in fact, parts of the brain are more active during sleep than they are during wakefulness. In particular, a part of the brain called the hippocampus, which is a central hub for integrating learning and memory, becomes very active during certain phases of sleep. As you probably know, a human sleep is subdivided into non-REM, so non-rapid eye movement sleep, sometimes called slow wave sleep, and REM, or rapid eye movement sleep. And these different phases are associated with different types, patterns of hippocampal activity. Now, the hippocampus is activated during wakefulness. So neurons in the hippocampus, for example, encode information about new places that we visit, and is then reactivated during subsequent sleep when those neurons that encoded new memories kind of come to life again. So you kind of replay your waking experience whilst you're offline during sleep. And it's this process which is thought to support the strengthening of memories and the sorting of memories, kind of sorting the wheat from the chaff. Which things do we need to remember? Which things are less important? And can we therefore afford to forget?
Wow, so parts of the hippocampus are being activated specifically by location as we're moving around. And then as we sleep, we're literally replaying all of that in exactly the same order of kind of brain cell activation as it was in the day.
That's right. So we're replaying those patterns of activity that encoded new memories during the day, but we're doing it at a different time scale. So in fact, the patterns of activity that are replayed during sleep are replayed on a compressed timescale, about 10 times faster than they were during wakefulness. And that short timescale activity is thought to be important for driving changes in the strength of connections between brain cells that cooperatively encode these memories. Now, we know it's important for memory function because if you disrupt that replay activity, then you slow formation of memories.
So is that all that's happening at this level of hippocampus place cells, or is there more than that?
So no neuron and no brain structure is an island, and the hippocampus has to share all this information it's laying down in memory with other parts of the brain. For example, you know, certain parts of our environment might be particularly rewarding. So if you wander down a new corridor and stumble upon a big pile of chocolates and think, woohoo, then dopamine signaling in the midbrain, for example, is activated. And that dopamine signaling is also replayed during subsequent sleep in a way that coordinates with the hippocampus. So that might, for example, enable the brain to selectively strengthen particularly important memories about chocolate. Similarly, we know that over time, as memories mature, then they're integrated into other parts of the brain beyond the hippocampus, into the neocortex, for example. So the neocortex is important for storing memories long-term, and that integration of memories across the hippocampal system and the neocortical system is supported by coordinated activity during sleep. We suspect that the way the brain deals with this is to use brain waves or neural oscillations as a kind of clocking mechanism to coordinate activity. The brain waves are acting almost like the conductor of an orchestra. So the hippocampus, when we're asleep, doesn't necessarily know when to do its stuff, and the neocortex isn't being told when to do its stuff by external stimuli. So instead, we have this internal conductor mechanism, these slow waves, which modulate the timing of the hippocampal activity and the timing of the cortical activity, and therefore bring the two into line, allowing the hippocampus to tune in to the neocortex and vice versa.
In the day, we're processing information, and our brain cells in the hippocampus are kind of firing dependent on specific things that are happening. At night, we're then recoding that at a quicker pace to give us a strong memory, and that's happening whilst we're asleep. But on top of all of that, our hippocampus needs to go talking to other parts of the brain to link up all of these different bits of information. And in order for it to know when to do that, we've got these huge ripples of brainwave activity, which are giving it a second by second, like a conductor coordination, telling it where to go.
That's exactly right, yes.
Wow, that sounds incredibly complicated, but like amazing. It sounds really awe-inspiring, I think, is probably where I want to go with that.
Awe-inspiring indeed. I just can't get over the complicated patterns of activity that are happening through our brains all the time. It's so much more than I can even take in. Maybe I should be giving sleep a bit more credit.
Sound of your brain. That was the naked scientist Connie Orbach with the University of Bristol's Dr. Matt Jones. Now, that is not the end of the story, so try not to doze off, as Connie will be back in a moment.
You're listening to The Naked Scientist. I'm Georgia Mills and she's Kat Arney. And in case you've already forgotten, this week is all about memory.